Both our states continue to look for a comfort zone on marijuana laws and regulations. Pot is illegal by federal law, but allowed for medical uses in both states. And then there are all those gray areas and illegal grows and illegal sales. In California, the estimate of the value of marijuana as a crop, legal and illegal, is $14 billion, with a B, dollars. Set aside for a moment the impact on humans, both as individuals and in communities, let's take up instead the issue of environmental impacts. People growing marijuana are not always particularly good stewards of the land, and one of California's regional water quality boards recently decided to inspect illegal marijuana grows for possible environmental violations. Let's find out how this will work. Clint Snyder is with us. He's the Assistant Executive Officer at the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board. Clint, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeffrey.
You bet. Let's get some background first about the Regional Water Quality Control Boards, what they do.
The Regional Water Quality Control Boards, we are a subsidiary of Cal EPA. So under the Cal EPA umbrella, the State Water Resources Control Board, and under that are nine regional water quality control boards, and the boundaries of which are formulated by watershed. So the Central Valley Water Board, for instance, our boundaries drain the Sacramento and San Joaquin rivers, essentially from the Oregon border down to the Tehachapis, and from San Jose over to Yosemite, encompassing 37 counties.
Wow, that must be the biggest of the nine water quality boards, I would think.
Yeah, approximately 40% of the state.
Yikes, that is a major area to service. So illegal marijuana grows obviously been around for a long time. I mean, how long since it became clear that they were causing environmental problems as well?
Well, it's been a longer problem, a longstanding problem in the North Coast region, so Mendocino, Humboldt, Trinity counties. But with the passage of Proposition 215 in 1996, we really started to see the spread of marijuana grows into the Central Valley region. And really about 5 to 6 years ago is when we really started to see the problems associated with these grows, environmental damage.
And what kind of problems are we talking about? What kinds of damage?
Everything from illegal water diversions to slope failures, illegal grading activities, use of banned pesticides and herbicides, anything from mammalian death to aquatics organisms. It's really been rampant in some grows, although I'll preface, not all grows do we see these impacts, but it's definitely present and has become a bigger issue as time goes on.
Did you say mammalian deaths?
Mammals.
Mm-hmm.
Mammals, birds, a lot associated with rodenticides getting into the food chain. A lot of poaching activity, things like that.
I do remember talking to somebody on The Exchange not terribly long ago about the impact on the Pacific fishers, for example, because the rodenticides are put out there, and then the fishers end up getting into that stuff, and so it's a pressure on a species that's already a little on the shaky side. The you mentioned too that the diversions that are coming out of some of the streams. I mean, how much water are some of these diversions taking out of streams?
It's significant. You know, you gotta put in place where a lot of these marijuana grows are at the higher elevations. I mean, we're talking about headwaters. Some of these waters sustain drinking water supply for a lot of homeowners in these rural areas, and they also support an immense diversity of aquatic organisms. So when we're talking about diverting a water course, we're literally talking about drying up a lot of these water courses. Marijuana takes a significant amount of water, and the more crops in these higher elevations where we generally did not see historically the amount of water use, it's profound.
And the growth, as you point out, in the Central Valley has been largely since California legalized marijuana for medical use?
That's when we started to really see the rampant use of marijuana as far as grow sites. It's been significant, largely in the foothills. More remote areas, not so much on the valley floor. The grows we're talking about, you know, these aren't, you know, 4 to 5 plants. These are the grows that are in the, you know, the 80, 90, 200 range. So it is a significant amount of water.
And when there are that many plants, I mean, how big a land area are we talking about here?
Acres.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's important to realize that for instance, the illegal grading activity isn't so much the per plant basis, but it's the infrastructure to support the plants. So, grading roads to gain access to these remote areas, clearing, you know, vegetation for the plants to obtain sunlight, importing a lot of soils, and then just grading in general. A lot of these are in steeper areas, so, you know, they like to have a nice flat surface or at least terraced slopes. And so, you know, that's when we start to get into sediment runoff issues.
Well, it sounds like there's a certain level of sophistication then to some of these cultivation efforts, but that sophistication apparently does not always extend to good stewardship of the environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what we see. You know, probably the closest analogy for the sediment control issues is a construction site. You know, a lot of our contractors, they comply with the laws or best management practices, as we call them. You know, you'll see, you know, when you drive by a construction site, things like silt fence and straw wattles, a lot of mitigation measures in place. And with these growth sites, very rarely do we see any.
Clint Snyder is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Assistant Executive Officer at the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board in California. We're talking about the issue of how to approach illegal marijuana grows and check for environmental violations. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. You said something about importing soils a moment ago. They actually bring soil in to make better than what they get for topsoil?
Absolutely. You know, when you start to look at the soil profile, these more mountainous regions or even in the foothills, the soils are, although they probably would grow, you know, a marijuana crop, there are better ways to do that, and importing soils is almost 100% of the time is what we see. Large bags, you know, 1 to 2 cubic yard bags, brought in soils, fertilizers, that kind of thing, to maximize productivity.
Now, since the water quality boards, including yours, fall under Cal EPA, then is it pretty much up to the water quality boards to try to catch the environmental regulations and do the enforcement actions upon them?
Well, I think it's important to realize that there are many agencies with a hand in this issue. Cal Fire, for instance, takes a look at timberland conversion issues. Fish and wildlife, water diversion, and again, mammal, bird, aquatic organisms, and impacts to those. The water board's really looking at impacts to surface or groundwaters. And then you have, you know, the local jurisdictions, so law enforcement and county code enforcement, county environmental health, for instance, even air quality, all play a role in the regulation and enforcement of marijuana grows.
But how long has it been an issue, though, that the water quality boards like your own have been approaching anybody involved in this business and about the diversions and things like that?
This is brand new to the Central Valley region. This literally gained a foothold in about May of this year. We've been working with a number of legislators and local officials since that time, pretty heavily, actually, to establish our inspection protocol and sort of the processes that we'll go through, make sure our staff are safe in conducting these inspections. So it's been a lengthy process, heavily involved process, but we feel that we're getting close and should start inspecting these facilities in the next month.
So what led up to this, though? I mean, you mentioned that it started along about May of this year. Was there some precipitating incident or issue that spurred this action on?
Yeah, really, Butte County officials wanted the water boards involved as another piece to try to enforce on some of these illicit marijuana growers. Through that process, Assemblyman Logue was brought in, and then a few other assemblymen and the governor's office. So it's been an extensive conversation through that process. Other additional counties have come forward and wanted the water board's assistance. So it's been a lengthy conversation, no doubt, but we feel that we have a strong process in place now and can proceed accordingly.
So, Clint, has a protocol been set up, a way in which this will be done and how often it will be done? I mean, are there going to be regular patrols, or is it going to be on a case-by-case basis as you get complaints? How is this going to be? How are actions going to be initiated, and who responds?
So the process we have in place now, as I said, there are many agencies involved, and so each agency will collect complaints, if you will. Once a month, we will get together, prioritize those complaints, and then conduct joint agency inspections. And so during those inspections, law enforcement will be a key component, law enforcement being local sheriff's offices and fish and wildlife wardens. They will go in first, secure the scene, and then all the scientists and engineers from the various agencies will come in, conduct that inspection, gather evidence, determine who will be the lead agency in prosecuting that particular case, and then we would move on to the next one. So trying to lump as many of the inspections within a couple of days as we can.
All right, but certainly nobody's going out there alone. There's not going to be any inspectors from the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board out there by themselves by any stretch of the imagination.
Never, never. Absolutely. We'll always be preceded by law enforcement.
Now, was there ever a time when you said never before there had been inspections at all?
Not within the Central Valley region.
This is
new. So the North Coast region, which is Humboldt, Trinity County area, they've been conducting inspections for a couple of years now.
And do they provide something of a template you could follow, something of a wheel you didn't have to reinvent?
Similarly, we've been working very closely with Region 1 and the State Water Board on this action. But yes, significant conversations with the North Coast region to establish our protocol.
All right. But so if anybody thinks in terms of like, well, it's not like you're going to be giving tickets for the environmental violations while law enforcement looks the other way on the grow itself. It's all going to be part of one comprehensive action.
Right. And I think it's important for the public to realize that, you know, even though Prop 215 does exist and provide certain protections for growers, really the relevance of Prop 215 does not weigh into the Water Board's jurisdiction in regulating these grows. We are really looking at the discharges associated with these grows. And so illegal really does not play a role. We'll address environmental damage as we see fit.
It sounds like there's a certain level of defensiveness there. And so I'm only going to guess that there have been some complaints then from people who say, hey, look, it is legal to grow marijuana for medical use in California. Has there been some flack back about developing this process?
Absolutely. I field a lot of phone calls from the concerned public. Everything from, you know, my neighbor is destroying my property value to my drinking water source no longer exists. So I just think it's important for folks to realize that, and even working with the, you know, growers, the Western Plant Science Association is another a marijuana industry rep that we've been working with to try to better understand the growing community. And really, for that regard, as I said, Prop 215 does provide some protection for growers, but that does not reach into the environmental world.
In a sense, you have to work blindly here. I mean, not completely blindly, but you have to focus on what your area of jurisdiction is, which is water and water quality.
Absolutely. That is our focus. We will not be reaching into any other facet of the grow operation.
Clint Snyder is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Again, Assistant Executive Officer at the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board. We're talking about a process being set up now and put into place very soon in which officers of the Water Quality Control Board will be inspecting illegal marijuana grows for environmental regulations. And violations thereof. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like there's a chance, Clint, you could get a situation where there is a water quality violation but not necessarily a law violation, or there's a fish and game violation but not an environmental or a law violation. So it sounds like there could be quite a range of situations you could find out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Water Board, we do have an extensive toolbox to address the environmental concerns. But there are other instances in which the Water Boards will provide an assistance-type role. One example might be if the district attorney's office is going to prosecute against a grower, the Water Boards may provide expert testimony to support that case. Likewise, if Cal Fire, for instance, is going to prosecute an illegal timberland conversion type of a case, we would again provide that technical assistance. So it's not always that the water boards would take a lead role. In fact, I don't see the water boards taking a majority of the lead roles. Most of the time, actually, the counties have the most appropriate tools to address marijuana grows through their ordinances and code enforcement. So really we're looking at more of the most egregious cases in this example.
Egregious in size and scope and impact, I mean, any of that stuff?
Absolutely.
Are there any counties in particular where you think you'll find more activity than others within the broad region that you serve at the Central Valley Board?
Not necessarily. Really what we are seeing is that the majority of these grows that present the greatest threat to water quality are in the foothill elevations. These are folks who don't want to be next to others. They want to be separate and more remote. They don't want to have a lot of traffic, sort of an out of sight, out of mind type of an appearance.
All right, so they really would rather not have much scrutiny at all, obviously.
Absolutely.
What's been the situation with staff time? I mean, obviously a fair amount of work has gone on at the Water Quality Control Board just figuring out the protocol that'll be followed as these inspections take place, but do you have enough people to be able to do very many of these inspections?
Resources are a huge concern for us, as with the other agencies, and I think that's one of the benefits in working with the legislators is that they do understand our limitations, and it's hoped that through these efforts, we will be able to garnish additional resources. You know, the general trend is that we are moving towards legalization of marijuana. There are a couple of ideas that spawn from that. One is the supply and demand type of concept. Where, these grows are going to just be so plentiful that folks sort of fall back to, a true medicinal purpose. So we're growing, four or five plants along with their tomatoes. In that regard, there really isn't any environmental damage to speak of. So that's one concept. The other concept is that, if in fact we do legalize in California and the rest of the United States does not, that we essentially become the growing grounds for the rest of the nation. And in that regard, we're going to need a tremendous amount more resources to regulate and enforce on marijuana grows.
Is there any examination of what's happening in the state of Washington or in Colorado at this point to see how they are dealing with some of the issues that you face since both states have legalized marijuana for personal use?
We follow it really extensively. We haven't seen a lot of change since then within the state of California, at least not in the Central Valley region. We are still in a situation where we're adding growers every year. We don't know the exact numbers, but we're actually working with a number of consultants now to try to quantify the number of grow sites in California, both their location, growing trends, whether they're migrating to one county or another, certain elevations or another, proximity to water courses and classes of water courses. So there's a lot of activity behind the scenes to try to better get our hands wrapped around this problem, but right now there's just not a lot of information out there in the growing trends in marijuana grows in California.
Right, so more often than not, it's going to be something of a surprise when somebody says, hey, I think there's a grow going on here. It's probably something you haven't heard about before.
Right. A lot of our complaints actually come from folks who are, they either have riparian rights or they've lived along a water course for quite some time. They're best suited to really understanding that water course, and they alert us when there are changes, whether there's floating matter in the creek or whether the creek has just simply been diverted. They are our best indicator, and we try to work closely with those folks when we can.
So, Clint, which is the more frequently seen situation, that the water course is diverted or that it's polluted?
I would say, first and foremost, it's water course diversion. These are water-intensive crops. And a lot of them being in remote areas, these streams are not large for the most part. So even diverting 3 or 4 cubic feet is noticeable downstream. And then you start looking at the cumulative impacts. If you have, you know, 10 or 20 growers within a particular watershed, you really start to see the impacts. And so those folks downstream, they notice it right away, and they're on the phone.
All right, because they notice, as you mentioned, the quote you gave much earlier was, my water source has disappeared, which is logical to happen when you're going to have that many people upstream taking the water out. So, Clint Snyder, just talk, if you would, about what a process this has been to try to develop what you're going to be doing in terms of inspecting illegal marijuana grows. It sounds like it's been quite comprehensive and involved a lot of hours of work.
It absolutely has. Like I said, this really started in May. You know, when Butte County expressed interest in the water boards participating in these inspections. Since then, it has, I would estimate 60 to 70% of my time has been spent developing this process, working with our attorneys internally. You know, we've got to develop not only the field protocol, but we've also got to look at the legalities. So how would we proceed with the prosecution of a marijuana grow? You know, one of the things that comes out of that is looking at you know, the types of growers. So one grow might be, you know, your more transient type grower who is really looking at you know, renting a piece of property and growing and then peeling out after the season or their crop is harvested. The others are really landowners who are growing crops. So a lot of different facets that we've got to take into consideration.
A whole range of things going on. All right, well, we'll talk to you down the road and see how successful the process goes as the agents of the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board inspect illegal marijuana grows for environmental violations. Clint Snyder is the Assistant Executive Officer at that Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. That'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. We'll talk about bullying and hatred and violence in hour number two.